Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. And if you don't know that, then you don't know God. Oh, but my life is upside down. Everybody's life is upside down. You know, we saw a random stranger yesterday at Lowe's in Mansfield. And we were up there, what was it, around 7 or so? It was before we ate. So we were going over, and this woman is standing out there on those dividers. She's taking a picture. Her husband's like, oh, just come on. She's like, I can't get the picture. I look, well, it's one of those storm clouds. It's layered. It looks like a UFO. She's like, maybe it's a UFO. Maybe they'll take me. You're not the only one on this planet thinking that right now. But listen, I have hope in God and what Jesus has done in his return. I'm not going to tell you when because I don't know when. I don't care when. It's nothing to fight about. Nothing to get all cranked up about. He said, just keep marching till you're relieved. So we just keep doing what we do. But we praise God. We get up. We shout. Listen, you know, Miss Cheryl, I love that. That was pure joy. Because I know some of the stuff she went through last week and this week. And God handled it. Took care of it. We have got to remember, we're going to go through stuff. Jesus said, in this life you will have trials. But be of good cheer. That's of good cheer. That was a great cheer. I have overcome the world. And if you're in me, you are now an overcomer. So remember that. No matter what's going on in this world, you're going to be in part of it. But you do not have to be totally a part of it. Amen. I got a couple real quick announcements. First off, newsletter stuff is due to Miss Vicky by this Friday. If you have a testimony, we'd love to hear it, what God has done for you. Cheryl, you can put that in there. People like to see, we do that. Just so if anybody's wondering why we don't just say, well, we got a testimony section. When I got saved and my parents were saved and we started going to churches, and they'd always had this part in the service where is there any testimonies out there? Old Sister Bucket Mouth over here, she'd get up. I want to tell y'all the devil has put me through it this week. Why do you start a testimony about giving glory to God with the devil? Why? And as I remember, 90% of them, the devil kicked their butt. I don't want to go telling everybody I got my butt kicked. You know what I want to tell people? By the way, my taste is coming back. It's not 100%, but it's coming back. I've been eating cucumbers. They don't always taste real great, but I'm eating them as my act of faith that they will taste like cucumbers again and not death. So for those of you, and I've had several of you pray and tell me and tell me things that we prayed for the other day. People are recovering. Do not stop believing. You have to keep doing something. You've got to keep your seed of faith moving. Okay, now real quick, nursery caregiver meeting next will be held in the nursery at 9:30 a.m. on 5/22/22 next Sunday. So if you haven't given Michelle your updated information, please give it to her. And if you're a married teen with children, only one of you need to attend a meeting so the other can take care of your children. So you're getting all the information. We need this. If you haven't noticed, there are Sundays we have a lot of little ones. And not enough people to care for the little ones. So, and I have been in that situation before, and it's not fun. Praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. And Father, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. Lord, I pray that you receive it as a sweet aroma, that you bless it according to your word. Father, you said you'd rebuke the devourer for our sake. Father, you said that our crops would not go bad in the fields, that our barns would overflow. Father, that we may be able to help other people. Now, Lord, I bless this and I present it to you as holy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. Praise God. Well, I hope you didn't get too sunburned this week. I tried not to. I got a good base going. Sad part is I'll probably lose it, like I've done every year for the last several years. Praise God. It's so good to see the sun and the warmth, isn't it? See the farmers in the fields planting their crops. So last week, I started a message on idolatry. And I hit some things, and there may have been a few people that didn't quite agree with me. And when I say agree with me, I'm talking about the yoga thing. Because the church has been duped into thinking that that's part of stretching and exercising. Yeah, you're going to burn a ton of calories sitting there trying to stand on one foot. But you need to understand that is a dance created in the Hindu religion, and Rob reminded me when he was in the back that it's all about the serpent at your feet and crawling up. You are the tree of life. If you don't know, if you've never studied in it, that's the problem with people who are doing this. They don't study where yoga came from. It's from Hinduism. And it's about the tree of life and lining up all those chakras. Y'all have heard that, haven't you? Any movie you've ever watched, they say, you got to get your chi and your chakras all lined up. You need to get your brain washed and cleaned of that stuff. You are inviting the demons that they dance to your party. Sorry I jumped in right like that. But I'm telling you this, because so many people today are wondering, why is this going on in my life? Well, remember the sun god pose? This isn't it. I'm just doing my own renditions. You were worshiping the sun. They worship death. They worship monkeys and cattle. And they have a large starving population. If I were the ruler of India, there would be no starving people. There'd be no rampant monkeys coming along taking your cell phones and your food out of your hand, running in your house, tearing your house up. There'd be a lot of monkeys on the street in the meat market. I have been in the jungle, and yes, they do sell monkeys. Oh, that's just wrong. You eat squirrel. I ruined myself. I was eating a squirrel one time and I was getting ready to fry it up. And I took the front leg and it looked like an arm. Can't do it. I saw my uncle when I was 6 skinning a rabbit. I was 19 before I touched another rabbit. So, anyhow. Don't get bent out of shape because somebody else eats something that you think is so cute and cuddly. Now, if that bothers you, there is lots of grass. We got lots and lots. We grow grass in this country, lots of it. And I'm talking the other type that is legal. Unfortunately, we grow a lot of the other stuff too. We grow all kinds of stuff. Lettuce, spinach, knock yourself out. But that is your belief, not mine. I am a part carnivore. I like meat. Anyhow, but I do also like to eat my salads. Had a nice one last night. Had great service. But we become idolatrous, and we were talking last week about pagan idolatry. within the church. And this is all within the church. I don't care what's going on in the world. It's all from the world. This is stuff that's permeating the church. And the reason I bring this up is because if you read in Revelation, starting in chapter 2, and I forget, like 3 to 4, somewhere in there, Jesus is talking about the churches. There's 7 churches, 7 main churches at that time, and he lists them out. And he's telling the pastors of those churches. By the way, that's who the angel of the church was. It was a messenger. It's what the word angel means. The messenger, the guy who gives the message. So I would be an angel. And the word being, I forget what it is, but anyhow, I would be the messenger of this church. And he says, I'm telling you, we'll say Tim is, I'm telling you, Tim, if you don't straighten up your church, I'm going to snuff out your candle. That's not a good thing. But then he tells that church, he says, but if you can overcome, if you can get these people away from Jezebel, away from sexual immorality, again, away from the teaching of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans were a group that they had some weird sexual, and it was all about sex. People say, why do you mention sex so much? Because it's mentioned so much in the Bible. People that don't believe it ain't reading the Bible. They're making up their own story because they're stuck on one message. I want blessed. Well, you want blessed? Get this garbage out of your life. Blessing will run you down. And anyhow, so he starts going on it, but there's one particular spot where he said, when he's talking about Jezebel, he said, and you taught them to commit adultery with Jezebel and to eat things offered to idols. Now, there's a conflicting scripture about that, isn't there? Because I forget exactly, I didn't look it up to confirm where it's at, but I believe it was Paul said, eating something offered to an idol is just food. Don't let your conscience be scored, but if it does, don't eat it. Don't touch it. It's just food. Let's say Joe Schmuckatelli here offers a banana to the monkey god. I come along and I'm hungry. There's a banana. I like bananas. I pick up the banana. I eat the banana. Oh, it was offered to an idol. It's a banana, and that's a statue. But what they're really talking about there is offering things to things that were created for the idol, for the worship of the demons. Yoga. That's what it was created for. It wasn't created so you could be more flexible. Oh, for crying out loud, we got... I never did a bit of yoga in my teens and 20s, and I tell you what, I could twist around and do all kinds of things. As a kid, I ended up underneath the merry-go-round. Y'all remember that stupid thing that you see how fast you can get it going, see how many people fly off of it? They're illegal today. That's why we got wimpy kids. I ended up underneath that sucker in the middle, and it was only about that big, and I was folded in half, and I was the thing stopping it on the pavement. That was the last time I rode in the middle, I'll tell you that right now. That pipe was wore so smooth, you couldn't hold on to it. But the things that are offered to idols, he's saying, you don't need this stuff in your life. Not necessarily talking about food, but things offered. The dances. You know what we got going on today? We got all this twerking stuff, right? It often, honestly, it sickens me. Now, ladies, if you want to dance for your husband in the privacy, knock yourselves out. More power to you. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. The marriage bed. Not a wedding. Not out in public. You know what? This is a dance offering to the goddess of fertility in Africa. I just thought it was a hip-hop dance. Nothing like that is just this. It's sweeping the country, the world, the church. We can dance. We can shout. But don't be twerking. You want to spice up your life in your bedroom? Knock yourselves out. You just might, literally. But don't be doing this stuff and saying, well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. He's coming back for a bride without spot nor blemish or wrinkle. That means we need to take meticulous care of us. That's who he's talking about, us. We are looking out for us. I'm preaching because that's my job. But I can't tell Tim, straighten this up. Now, if God says, go tell Tim that he's in error in that, I'll go talk to him. And I tell you right now, if I tell Tim he's in error, I know him enough. He's going to turn. He's going to change what is in error. But he's also sensitive enough he can hear God. And he's told me that God's told me this. And I didn't have to. But when we would stand inspection, we would hang our uniforms up and we would turn the sleeves inside out. We called them Irish pennants. Don't get offended. My descendants or my ancestors were Irish too. But they were little pieces of thread. You always get them. We had these little pair of scissors. Anybody else in the military ever inadvertently cut your chevrons off because of the Irish pennants? It's like, oh man, cut too many threads loose. But we trimmed those. We turned our covers inside out, and because that's what the inspector was going to do. They looked for creases. I'm cheap. I have said that from a long time ago. I am a cheap person. Now, I have, in over years, decided being cheap all the time isn't a good thing. But, like, there were guys that would pay Mama-san to wash their laundry. Man, that's $50 a month. That's a lot of soap. And I ain't got nothing to do on Sunday night. I do my laundry. Iron my own stuff. And when you iron your own clothes, you have a tendency to sometimes get a double crease. And I can't tell you how many guys got nailed for a double crease because they didn't pay attention. It's very difficult to lay it right down. You'd think, oh, it's already got a crease in. It's so easy. You have to watch it. And the same thing with the body of Christ. We have to be careful. We have to do our own stuff. I can't iron Caleb's robe. Caleb's got to do it. He knows it. He knows himself better than I do. You each know yourself better. So when we're talking about pagan idolatry, we're talking about these things that are obvious. You know, people, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know. There's these symbols. Sometimes you do got to watch symbols, folks. I will tell you right now. But if you've ever noticed, there are symbols that were used long before they ever got adopted into witchcraft or Motley Crue's stage decorations or Slayer's stage decorations or whoever, King Diamond, Rob Zombie. I just named a bunch of groups of people who went... These are all the people, and by the way, they are playing to your vanity. I read an article by a guy that went on tour with Slayer, supposedly one of the biggest satanic groups of the late 90s. He went on tour, and he was expecting, you know, sacrifices every other night and all this stuff. He said, they get out on stage, and they act like demons. He said, they get backstage, they go back to their rooms, they all sit down, and they call their families. He said, not one mention of the devil. We got pentagrams all over the stage. You got a goat. They're hypocrites. Personally, one of the biggest ones for me was Kiss. I was in the 70s, man. I remember when Kiss came out, and they came out black and white paint, you know, teeth, boots, and all blood and all this stuff. And they sing a song called Beth. What? You don't match. That has nothing to do with anything. But I'm just telling you how people will use that stuff to play. Oh, it's rebellious. Yeah, it is. But pagan idolatry in the church is the last place we should see this stuff. So I want you to make sure that, you know, I'll address this. I had a person pose a question to me last week, and said, do you think the vaccine could be idolatry? The vaccine was not created for worship. Could somebody fall in love with the vaccine? I'm finding more people falling out of love. And that's from people who got the shot. Because, by the way, there was a handful of people I prayed for that were having problems because of it. I'm not saying you're going to. And I pray over you, and I pray that God protects you. I know people have had to take it. My body. And it'll be over my dead body. You test that thing out on some lab rats first. I've been a lab rat long enough for the military. Oh, no, the rat's got more rights than I do. That's right. Anyhow, I want to stay off the political soapbox. But no, I do not think the shot can really become something we become idolatrous about. Is it divisive? You better believe it. But I will tell you right now, if you want it, you get it. But I'm not taking it. I've had COVID. Messed with me. Don't think it would have done so much if I hadn't been recovering from a broken back. But most people I've heard found problems had some other issues that were going on. So many people in the medical field have seen that. But COVID, I have my own philosophies and thoughts on that. So, but let's get back to idolatry. So no, I don't think the shot is actually idolatry. When we're talking about idolatry, we talked about the paganism, the Buddhas. We were in a store last night, and Angela walked up. She says, oh, look at this anchor. And I just stopped and I said, that's not an anchor. And she spun it around, and it's a Hindu praying, because the way the legs were crossed, and it was a figure of a person praying with their legs crossed in one of the yoga poses. They had a Buddha, female Buddha, sitting on a shelf over behind it. Since the 70s, our society has just, oh, let's just bring in a Buddha. It's peace. No. Buddha was not the Prince of Peace. The other day, on Facebook, y'all get these friend suggestions, and you're like, how do I know this person? And I'm kind of picky. I want to know who do you know that I know? And why do you want to be my friend? That's my first. Why do you want me? But I saw somebody that I knew. It was a man that I've known for a long time. A man I will say this, used to look up to. The picture startled me because the last time I saw that man, he did not look like that. But I say to each his own. I don't care. You want to shave your head, shave your head. You want to grow your hair, grow your hair. I don't care. It was the Buddha sitting above his head on the shelf. He preached the word of God at one time. And he's got a stinking Buddha by his books. You know what that tells me? Tells me he's gotten his mind so open, his brain's leaked out. He's adopted modern Middle Age or Middle Eastern philosophies, such as meditation. When the Bible says to meditate on the word, it means meditate on the word. Don't just sit around with your legs all twisted up and your fingers in a stupid pose going, so that you can clear your mind. I meditate on the word. A scripture, I'll read a scripture and I'll say, God, what does this mean? And I'll just keep going over that, over and over and over and over. All day long. It's amazing how many times you can think about the same thing when you're intending to do it. Oh, by the way, I'll be working at the same time. Meditation doesn't mean you always got to go sit in a closet somewhere. I'm just not a person who can sit still that long and do absolutely nothing. You can ask my wife. Are we done sitting? Back when I was a kid, the corner was torture. Get in a corner. And next thing you know, we still had the plastic army men. Play with the little plastic guy. Mom, get your nose in that corner. So now, as we read, and I'm telling you all this because, one, some of this stuff is stuff that is very easy. Pagan idolatry, super easy. The next type, secular idolatry. This is a little more difficult sometimes to identify because it doesn't have religious language, and it's usually free of typical spiritual practices. No congregating to come to church, not necessarily have to sing, pray, read. You don't necessarily have to do this. Some of these examples are sex. There's people, that's what they live for. The next quick thing. Money. People constantly working. Got money, 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 money. How many people have to commit suicide because they thought money would end their problems and they became millionaires and realized it didn't? And they're like, my problems still exist and I have all this money, so obviously money and things don't solve my problems, so I'm going to kill myself. That's a sad state, that people think money will answer your problems. It can buy you things. It can buy you a boat. But are you going to be happy on that boat? It can buy you a motorcycle. It can buy you a jacked up four-wheel drive truck. That when you go to the gas pump every other day, I filled my truck up Friday. $92. And it's not even got a big tank. Power. How about power? That is one of the things that people are seeking the most. Because they know that with power comes money. Sex. All this stuff comes when you have power. All you have to do is look at politicians. What is so attractive about them? It's power. They know what they can do. And don't think that politicians won't, in a heartbeat, use it to mess you over. I have power, I will wield it. Why? Because I think I'm God. See, here's the thing with the way God created this world and the way it was supposed to be. Nobody had power over another person. Adam was the covering. God came to the earth and walked in the garden. Well, Pastor, there wasn't no evil. Evil was there. Not that the serpent himself was evil. It was the lies that the serpent spewed out. And there's more information on that whole deal. The serpent was and is not the devil. It was a serpent. Okay? The devil didn't take the shape of a serpent. Getting tired of hearing people say, well, the devil, he was that serpent. No. It later became an image for the devil. But that was just a serpent. That's all it was. So people that, herpetologists who handle snakes, they aren't devil worshipers. And I tell you this because this is where these lies started. A preacher who wanted more power, I'm going to use this, don't. She won't take no offense, chewing bubble gum will send you to hell. Oh, I'm never going to chew bubble gum again. Right? That's what we teach. Wearing shorts to church, you're going to hell. No. You're not. Shaving the side of your head, you're going to hell. Is there anybody else I can nail? No. Wearing glasses, you're going to hell. Heard that one. You say God can heal, but you wear glasses. Yeah, my eyes just have not adjusted to the will of God yet. That's all I'm going to stand on. And don't you judge me, because I won't judge you. But it's about power, how we can manipulate people. That's why so many leaders during the early 2000s were like, if the evangelical church, which is part of us, would have gotten out and voted. But you know why? Because years ago, some Yahoo preacher said, well, all things are going to happen whether you vote or not. Get out and vote. And if you would have voted and everything still happened the way that it happened, and you didn't, then you did your part. You did something that God gave you, a right to vote. About physical appearance, that's kind of a big one. Man, every small town has a gym, don't they? And they're good. We do need, because we don't do the exercise and the work that we used to do when, you know, years and years ago. There was a time in life they didn't have 700 horsepower tractors out there plowing the field. They had a team of mules. Or ox. And they had to walk behind that thing. So them guys, they got a lot of walking in. And they didn't have nice boots with gel cushioned insoles in them. They had a piece of stinking leather stacked with a wooden heel with nails in it. But we're worried about our physical appearance, so much so that millions, perhaps billions of dollars are being spent on augmentation. You know what? Again, your body, you do what you want, but don't you dare. Don't you dare tell me you're natural. Don't tell me you ain't got any wrinkles. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, there's a new one. Where did that one come from? And I told Angela years ago, I said, well, you know, I said, I do notice the hairline has retreated. And I've looked at all the pictures of my family. And there's the only thing they have in common is they cut their hair really short. Notice. Because they were bald. My mom's dad, he never made it past 55, so I don't know. I'm almost 52. Still got the same amount of hair, so evidently I got his hair. It's the only good thing he left me. Gave me a mom, I guess. But we're more worried about our physical appearance. I won't eat meat, but I'll sure out eat them Twinkies. Hello. Cut your portion down on your meat and throw away the Twinkies. It's all sugar. That's what I cut out. And I am back to drinking sweet tea, just not as sweet. I fasted it for darn near 3 months. And drank a ton of coffee. Did not have the same kick. So we're more worried about our physical appearance. Now, we're doing things to get in better shape, right? Because we do know, hey, I start feeling a little bit better about myself. I feel my joints feel better. I told Angela, I said, oh, Lord, why do I feel so sluggish? Well, you know, I got friends on Facebook who are part of the, I forget what, I can't remember the name of the diet, but it's a program, and they're going to the stores and taking pictures with bags of sugar. And some of them have got a pile of those 4 and 5 pound bags of sugar sitting in front of them. I'm like, there's why we don't feel good. It's not the sugar, it's all the excessive weight we're carrying. And yes, I see y'all. You're looking good. I don't tell you all the time, but you're looking good. I can see it. Here's one. Does anybody have a rock in their hands? Anybody got rocks? I'm making sure nobody's got stones. I'm not interested in getting stoned today. Family. Family. Yeah, we idolize our family over God. We'll put our families over God. I'm not saying you turn your back on your family. You prioritize God first. And watch what God will do. Just watch what He will do. We were talking with somebody yesterday, and they were talking about their family and said, you know, so if we, you know, for some reason we don't see, you don't see so and so, it's because they schedule all these games on Sunday, starting Sunday morning. He says, I don't know why they do that. I said, I do. It's the spirit of Antichrist that's rising. Because people will prioritize their children over coming to worship and their own faith. They still believe in God. Here, let me ask. You work out regularly, don't you, Caleb? I mean, I know you've got a physical job, so you're still doing a lot of stuff, but you're still working out as a coach to keep your guys motivated and keep yourself in shape. What's going to happen to those guns if you stop lifting for 2 months? Yeah, you're going to end up with those. I'll just tell you right now. You're going to lose them. What happens to your love, your faith, your joy when you don't come to church? Well, my family. It's a secular idol. It's something we put about. I'm not saying you can't go see your family. I ain't saying you can't go take a vacation. I ain't saying you can't travel and do things. I'm saying prioritize God in your life. By the way, hi, Miss Brenda, Mr. Pat, they said hi. They're on their way out there in Kentucky right now. And they said hi, Jesse. Do this stuff. Okay? But let's remember, well, you just want me in church. Duh. I played both sides of that fence before. I joined the Marine Corps in boot camp. I went to church every Sunday. I was there faithfully. One, it was air conditioned. Two, there were no drill instructors. And you could sneak in a nap. I felt sorry for the chaplain. He was a good chaplain too. He preached the word. I told Angela, I said, these Navy chaplains might not be too bad. Chaplain Buck over in Okinawa was a good chaplain, preached the word. But do you know what happened when I started prioritizing going to the beach more than God? I became an alcoholic. I quit tithing. I started doing things I normally wouldn't have done. But I still believed in God. I feared Him a whole lot more at that point. I tell people, I said, you know, the night that I turned my life around and said, God, I'm done playing. There was two motivating factors. One was her. I said, she doesn't deserve an alcoholic. So I quit. And the other, I feared going to hell that night. I had been drinking for 3 days straight. Whiskey, tequila, beer, you name it. Nothing to eat, and 128 pounds. You tell me what my blood would have come out as. I feared dying. severely that night. And that's when I told God, if you can do anything with me, I'm yours. Here I stand today. So what I'm telling you is when you prioritize God over those things, and you know what I did the next Sunday? See, that Sunday, I woke up, I'm still alive. We got to drive to the other end of the island, and I'm still too drunk to drive. We had to find somebody with a Japanese driver's license that was heading our way. When I prioritized God, I went back to church the next Sunday. I walked away from it. That doesn't say you don't have battles. Anybody tells you, oh, you just never deal with it again. They lie through their teeth. I'm here to tell you, there's going to be days you get up and you're like, you've got to be kidding me. Why am I having this thought? I don't need those pills. I don't need that needle. I don't need that bottle. I prioritized my wife and God. She was a motivating factor. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that when you prioritize God, you never lose. Romances. Oh, I gotta have a boyfriend. I gotta have a girlfriend. You know, I was there. I was there. Remember, I've told y'all about all the times I'd walk in the woods behind the house and I'd spend hours back. A girlfriend's what I was praying about. It really was. I'm like, God, I know I'm not ugly. Am I? Yeah. I mean, that's not what I was hearing. You know, when you got a sister that's a few years younger than you, they usually go through your sister. So I was hearing good things. Some of them were too young. And some of them I just wasn't interested. But in the end, God had something for me. I needed to get my life in line with Him. Because it was not. It was 4 days. I enlisted on Wednesday, found out she liked me and asked her out on Sunday. Like, wow, I got a job. Wait a minute. They're going to send me away. She's not going with me. And I'm going to tell you right now, I tried and tried and tried to come back home. Can I go reserves? After you're done with your active, you can. That didn't work. How about fame? People spend their entire life getting famous. I want to be famous. Why? How many of y'all saw the video of Mike Tyson pommeling that numbskull on the plane? It's awesome. Well, his buddy was the one recording it, so they edited the video so you didn't see the guy was really obnoxious. All Mike wanted to do was fly. He wanted to go from point A to point B, and some yahoo recognized him instead of saying, hey, good to see you, Mike. And sit down. He had to give her the... And then everybody's like, hey, Mike, calm down, calm down. Dude, you do realize he's heavyweight champion, right? One punch from him, even at his age now, could probably crack your face. And you're dumb enough to poke the lion inside the cage when the door's unlocked, and he knows it. Fame isn't all it's cracked up to be. Sometimes it's nice just to be able to walk and not have, hey, Mr. Tim, can I have your autograph? And then they turn around and it's on eBay for $500. Really? I thought you... That's all I am to you? Leisure. Just take a chill pill, man. Go. I knew a guy who told me, he says, I can worship God on this motorcycle going down the road. I drive, lift my hands, and you can do it. You can do it If you got a cruise control, physics is on your side on that, unless you're stupid and can't balance. He said, I'd just be worshiping, going down to worshiping the Lord. Okay, I think he's on marriage. He's had six wives. Battles depression all the time. Changes churches whenever the preacher doesn't do what he wants. And is an emotional wreck. But he can worship God on that motorcycle. You do know, you know, Caleb, you may not know it, but your being here stirs me up. You guys may not know that. You too. And I know you don't live around here, so, but when you do, it stirs the love of God in each and every one of us. How do you think we overcome the enemy? Well, I'm going to pull out my sword and my shield, and I'm going to battle the enemy. Hello, love is your weapon. It's a shield of faith. It's the sword of the word of the Lord. And if it's not being brought forth in love, then it's hatred that's bringing it forth. And I've told you years ago, you weren't built or equipped to handle hatred. We're not equipped to control it. Oh, I can control my hatred. No, you can't. You can't control your mouth. So don't tell me you can control an emotion that has set the world on fire time and time and time again. Good people become stupid whenever there's a man in office that they don't like. Shut your pie hole. He's there, pray for him. Because trust me, we need to be praying. And it ain't just him. It's the string pullers. It's all the judges. All the way down to commissioner and village council levels, we need to be praying for these people. Whether you like them or not is immaterial. Or how about the celebrity? You know, he goes kind of hand in hand with fame, right? I want to be a celebrity preacher. No, you don't. You don't want to be a celebrity preacher. Now, I understand and I know what he said. And I will tell you exactly what he said. And people keep twisting it. Kenneth Copeland said something about being on a plane. And he wasn't calling the people demons. He was talking about the demonic powers that are there in the air. And he's trying to get ready and prepare his heart to preach a message. And he's got people coming up and they recognize him. It's kind of like Jesus. Do you never notice Jesus just disappeared? He told people, don't tell anybody. He needed a break. I get it. I never got it until I started pastoring. And by the way, the more people you preach to, the more it draws. I would take a quick nap. I mean, I never napped on Sunday afternoon. And then somewhere along the line, her ways creeped in, and I'm like, man, we're not going fishing or boating or something. Yeah, after a nap. Okay. Now I'm like, oh, I got to get my nap. My brain shut down. Y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. You can actually literally feel your brain. It's on snooze. So they need a break. Success. Preacher, if you ain't got a church this big, you ain't successful. You know what? I really don't care what your definition of success is. The fact that I'm still standing after 20 years, after 20 years is testament of God's success. And that I'm too stupid to quit. That's why he chose a Marine. If we're just too dumb. I'm not kidding. I wish I were. There's a reason why the other branches say we eat crayons. By the way, I've never eaten a crayon. Now, the Elmer's paste, that was good stuff back in the day. I never got caught, but boy, I could eat. The rubber glue's not so good, by the way. It smells good, but it ain't good. Food. Food becomes an idol. Stress hits, right? Guys and gals. Oh, I just got to go get the Ben and Jerry's out. I got to do this. I got to do that. We put things in a place that, you know what, I need to just go spend some time with God. I need to go be alone, clear my head, talk to God about this problem. Comfort. We like to be comfortable, don't we? Ain't a person in here, anybody says, I don't like to be comfortable, you're a liar. I want to check your mattress at home. If you have a feather tick or a memory foam mattress or a really nice high-end mattress, you're a liar. You love comfort. And I will tell you right now, memory foams are worth the money. Being comfortable is what we like. But sometimes we have to be uncomfortable to find comfort again. But we will put being comfortable. So we won't stir up. We won't. There's a time to speak and a time to keep silent. That's what Ecclesiastes was saying. To everything there is a season. And our image, not necessarily, oh, you know, I'm handsome or I'm gorgeous. What do people think of me? Well, I can't do that because of what they might think. I remember going to get a haircut when we first started the church. I went in, told Jan, I said, I need a haircut. You know, pretty much up to that time, I kept a pretty short hair, even as it is right now. Had a flat top. We'll go in and get a nice flat top. And the last time I got one, he said, I don't know how much longer you're going to be able to handle this. You're going to have a horseshoe flat top. What that means is my hairline had gone back far enough that the top of my head was going to be showing. There wasn't going to be no hair there. It was a scalp. I'm like, well, I really don't want that because I'm trying to cover up the little spots that are there now. But anyhow, I went in and I said, I need something that's cool, but it looks kind of professional. And she says, why? I said, because I'm a pastor now. She says, what difference does that make? Now, have you ever had her cut your hair? She was not a Christian. Not saved. Pretty sure she has family in the mafia. She was from New York. But she said, why? What difference does your haircut make? And I said, you know what? And I'll tell you why. And this is the image in my head. And Phil will testify to this fact. Every preacher that I had grown up under, at some point, get the Grecian formula, got the football helmet going on, that Holy Ghost football helmet, you know, slick that hair back. Why? Why did we feel the need to look like somebody else? Well, you need to look like me if you're going to preach the word. You need to wear a suit and a tie. I think it's hilarious how many people aren't wearing suits and ties anymore. And I haven't done it for quite some time. I will do it on occasion. You know, I do like to look sharp. I think I look sharp today. New shirt, new jeans. I'm going to have blue legs later because we didn't wash them. I just remembered that. I was like, oh, yeah, these haven't been washed yet. My legs are going to be blue. We're more worried about what people think about us instead of our actual character. Well, don't let people see the real me. I'm just going to throw myself at your mercy. I can be self-centered. I can be hateful. I can be angry. Anything else you want to throw in there while I'm on a good roll?
Yep.
Okay. I can be mean and nasty, snarky. Fierce. Protective. All the same person. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you're never going to get a cross word from me. You might catch me on the wrong day. And I may not realize, because a lot of times I can catch myself and I can crucify it. But sometimes that thing wants out and it'll come flying out faster than you can bite your tongue. And if I've ever done that and hurt you, I am apologetic of that. But if I spoke the word in truth to you and it hurt, good. That's pain. That's weakness leaving your body. Had somebody say, oh, that's a lie, because it's a Marine thing now. Back of our recruiting shirts. Pain is weakness leaving the body. That's such a lie. You have no idea. Yeah, you go to the gym. But if you're really working out and you're really building and you're building strength, strength isn't just physical. It's mental. Yeah, I know we've got a couple guys in here who've coached football in particular. You know, I don't think they do log drills anymore, do they? They used to. I thank God they stopped that when I got to boot camp. I'm like, okay, I'm not exactly real tall. I understand the concept of if the tall guy's on this end, where all the weight's at on that telephone pole, it's on the short guy at the other end. Hey, hurry up with this thing. Put you on the big end. But the part of the is physical, but it's mental. All of that stuff they put us through. I had guys say, oh, 2 days of football were worse than this. I'd have to agree. I didn't think it was all that hard. Most of it I thought was kind of fun. You know, climbing 50 feet in the air on a thing that looks like a giant ladder, but every 4 feet apart. You know, that's the thing on Full Metal Jacket that Private Pyle couldn't quite get over. It's real. It's called the dirt. No, that's not the dirty name. Dirty name, something else that I saw guys fall off of that it hurts. We have got to remember that sometimes we got to grow. We just keep moving. What people think about us is immaterial. As long as what they see from us most of the time is kindness and God. Because God's not always, what's the word I'm looking for, a pushover. Because I didn't read to you what he said about one church. And he said, for those who refuse to change, I will kill them. Well, that's not a loving God. He's trying to get people to change. There are some people that will not change until the very last moment. We had a guy in boot camp, he wouldn't change. He just wouldn't discipline himself. And honestly, there were it was 80 of us total, so there was 79 guys who hated him. He's the reason on the last day we were doing what I later learned was called planking. We were watching television in our dress uniforms, short sleeves though. We were on our elbows, not like this. That's the normal plank. We were like this. And I'm here to tell you folks, Mr. August, his last name was August, was not exactly my friend. Because we paid for him all the time. And then drill instructors kept trying and kept trying and kept trying. He didn't do so well in the Marine Corps. Because he refused to change. And God wants us to change to be in his image. I honestly did not think I was going to have to go another week. There's one more section. And I will get to that one because that one really affects the church. And by the way, it's called religious idolatry. Won't want to miss that one. And you may want to get your toes out. Just go ahead or bring shin guards. Because I can promise you, it's going to hit all of us with things. I look down, I'm like, oh God. I kind of practice some of that myself. I think I'm doing good, and yeah. All right, let's stand. Enjoy the weather, folks. Enjoy the sun. Don't get burnt too bad, especially you, Clint. All you fair-skinned people, Whitney. I'm hoping I don't turn orange. Does anybody remember? I asked Jesse, I said, do you remember the year I'd been out riding my bike so much that I was literally orange? And we went to Myers and Marion and got family pictures. So I've got coon eyes and I'm orange. Donald Trump had nothing on me that year. I'm telling you, man. I'm like, I look like a Oompa Loompa. It's like, holy moly, what? Yeah, I'm like, where did that come from? Not red, not brown, I'm orange. I don't know. Don't know if that's the Irish or the Scottish coming out. Anyhow. So let's remember as we're going in our lives, and that's the point of these messages about idolatry, is we take the things that we hold above God, that we worship more than we worship God. And we'll start seeing how God actually moves in our lives when he's the priority. It's not that the thing was necessarily bad. Fame's not a bad thing if God's still your priority. There's a lot of Christians who are actors. And they're happy. And God has a priority in their life that's up here, not down here. Well, you know, we got this, we got this, we got this, got this. Doesn't look like we're going to come to church for the next 6 months. If y'all thought 2 months of not lifting weights going to make you a little weaker, guess what 6 months does? Well, I'm just going to go hit the briars. Well, we'll see you back in the program again. And you get to start all over. Anybody ever realize that? That when you lose all that weight, and you quit doing what did it, you gained that plus. I have no idea why. I'm like, do I really want to lose weight? It makes you think. Because if I quit being disciplined, it comes back with a vengeance. So will sin. That's why Jesus told us that when a strong man's been cast out of his house, he goes out and looks for seven stronger. And when he comes back and he finds the way in, he's taking you down. And your end will be a destruction. I'll stop, I promise. Okay, was that my second or third closing? Let's pray. All right, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. Father, I stand as one, and I know my brothers and sisters here feel the same. We do not wish for anything to be above you. Father, help us if there's anything in our lives that we idolize more than you. Father, things that we prioritize over you, even in sleep, even entertainment, even eating. Father, whatever it is, Father, may we realize that and we prioritize you in our lives. Father, I pray that you help each and every believer as they deal with these things in their lives. Father, that we may not be those that are cast out, but that we may, as you put in Revelation and many, many times, be pillars in your temple. Father, I thank you that we will all be overcomers in the areas we may struggle with. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I speak blessings and life over them right now. Healing in their bodies, Father, any who are dealing with sickness and disease, Father, touch them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I bless them in their minds. I bless their bodies. Father, fill their hearts with renewed joy in Jesus' name. Amen.